are becoming the kingdom of our God and of His Christ. Oh, yes, of His Christ.
And I was praying. All that has entered my heart was, the scripture declares it so. We have heard and we have believed. Therefore, what? We declare. And we have heard and believed. And upon the basis of what we hear and believe, we are given courage to declare it, to make it known. And at this conference, we have yet another opportunity to make known the revelation, the purposes, and the glory of God. But in particular attention is that there's opening a door of what? Divine glory. I have been tempted a few times to define divine glory. And I've not attempted defining it. I hope that our discussion yesterday led us to find what exactly we mean by divine glory. Today we continue our discourse on this whole issue of our heritage in divine glory. But he said, "Now it's joyful to be here." I was almost weeping when I considered this gathering, the purpose of the gathering, the revelations that are coming, and the particular place that the Lord has placed in the scheme of things on this gathering. You cannot tell the extent to which this mission is going to influence the times and seasons and the world around. We cannot tell. But as I was sitting down, the Lord was speaking to me about new things, you know, the world being what? A pleasant garden. And when I was thinking of this world becoming a pleasant garden, and the human race taking a new nature, we may discuss that this afternoon on a different platform. But when I was sitting, the impression was, and that's why I almost felt like weeping, that you may think these little things and discussions, but that the depth of influence, spiritually speaking, and the power that God is releasing on account of our witnessing, our presence and witnessing, and receiving the declarations of God in our presence. I wish you will live. We will live to see that day. It may be another 1,000 years. I remember when I was doing a program in Kumasi some years ago, the Lord told me, "Sonny, there will remain another 2,000 years before I come." So you can imagine how much waiting we have to do. And if we have to live till He returns, then we shall be living over, you know, more than Methuselah. Praise the Lord. But our living in this particular context, it's not just where? In this body. Because now, whether we are in this body or what? Out of the body, we are in His holy presence. And so with Him, at the other side, we can see the new thing. So I'm sure that we are not ordinary witnesses to these declarations. Papa has said that yesterday he was exhorting us, not just to sit down here, but when you hear, go and what? And tell the story. Declare it, that others also may hear. Another thing I know, that when, you know, when you have programs like this, nobody is attending. But God is here. And that the declaration is the basis on one creation came. Yesterday we thought about creation. And we considered the place of vegetation. And that vegetation did not know of itself until when it realized it was there. the plants and the trees and the flowers had no previous experience of existence. They were spoken in what? Into existence. So within the word, they were there. And when the word declared, let that be, it became. And then the trees and the flowers and the creeping things and all these things which, you know, sometimes become admirable, sometimes became a places of dwelling for demons and dwarfs and skin. And in Ghana, we can say that the one section of the forest should be allowed for, because the gods are staying there, and you should let that forest be holy so that nobody can dare, you know, disturb the gods. You know, we've gone through all kinds of experiences in our encounter with creation. But we must know that this creation we are discussing came from the one who, in whose name we have gathered. And is whom? Jesus Christ. He's the Word. So, as we declare these things in His name, I was rejoicing when Lady Jane reminded us of the divine glory and power thereof in Hebrews chapter 1, the first three verses. And when she was reading, I was so thankful to the Lord. The Lord, she said, that the Holy Spirit put that on her heart. And when you read that scripture, and you know the position of Jesus Christ. Yesterday we were discussing whether we are messengers or this and that. And the Bible says that prior to his appearing, not coming, appearing, because he was there before he appeared. Prior to his appearing, the Lord Father to creation by what? Prophets and angels. But since he appeared, not since he came, because he was then when everything what? Started. And therefore, he could not have come afresh. He has been out of him and through him, and from him creation came. But creation didn't know him until he appeared in a human form. And the church consider this as the advent of Christ or the coming of Christ. It is, I want to suggest, it's not coming, but it's what? Appearance. The curtain was open. And I won't talk about the preacher, but there was this preacher who was very conscious of knowledge. And he was talking about knowledge. And he believed in the stars and everything. They are all part of knowledge. Hallelujah. But the beginning of all things was the revelation of God. And the first thing before everything became was that let there be light. When he revealed himself, he said the world was covered with what? Darkness. And the Spirit was hovering over it. But to make creation come, he himself opened himself in the form of what? Light. He said, let there be light. And when he was open, hallelujah, he started creation. And you know that he got to a point before the sun and what? He created the sun and the moon later, after he appeared. So the sun and the moon are not the light. The light that appeared is of a higher stature, standing and glory than the moon and the stars and the sun. The book of Revelation is that his glory is the light and glory is greater than what? The sun at its highest, or height of penetration or revelation. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Blessed be the Lord who has called and begotten us unto himself through his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. The Father has made us joint heirs with his beloved Son, so we can take on the fullness of his everlasting divine nature, power and glory in this world and the world to come. The goal behind this is that the new beings of the church will bring transformation, create And what? Establish a new people. Yea, a new human race for a new world of God, kingdom, glory, order on earth. Let me repeat. The goal behind our calling and the revelation of Christ that, and our calling into him or unto him is that the new beings that are born anew, that is, are created, let me put it that way, the new beings that come out of the human race, who are called what? The church. We bring transformation and we create and establish a new people and human race for a new world of God, kingdom, glory, order on earth. It's a very loaded statement and I don't intend to, but I think you have ears and you by now you begin to see what God has made out of us. That God has a vision of a new human race, a new world order. And this vision of a new human race and a new human order, as we said yesterday, of creation also being what? Redeemed. Man is redeemed. Creation is redeemed. And the redeemed man and redeemed creation will constitute a new world. Because the operations and manifestations of glory of the fallen man that has now redeemed and born anew, and creation that has been under subjection and captivity to powers of darkness that have been delivered and now have been redeemed, the combined this man and the new world, new creation redeemed, will be formidable. And I'm imagining that it will be more glorious than when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they saw it. Praise the Lord. The beauty and glory of our inheritance in Christ is that we partake in the fullness of his divine nature and glory as the Father's heir on earth. The beauty and glory of our inheritance in Christ is that we have been given permission to partake in the fullness of the Father's divine nature and glory, having made us what? His heirs, joined us with Jesus Christ on earth. By token of this, the Father has arranged that his people, that is the church, should share in the pursuit and establishment of his kingdom, reign and rule of the earth, that is the world, with and through the Son, Jesus the Christ. The coming down upon and settlement of the Holy Spirit in the church is part of the deal. That we partake of what? The fullness of the divine nature and glory through whom? Jesus Christ, when we are born again. And he didn't end there. He opened the door for us what? To get to be baptized by whom? The Holy Spirit. And so the coming down, we'll come to it very soon. The Holy Spirit settlement coming upon us and settlement with us, that is the church, is part of the deal of making us what God wants us to be. Now that we are the sons of God, 1 John 3, 1 and 2, the gates of divine nature, authority, power and glory in sonship of God is open to us through Jesus Christ, the door of divine glory, John 10 and 9. I am the door, if any man. I'm saying that now that we are born again, and God has declared us what? His children. And he has opened the door for us to partake of his fullness of divine nature. We can understand that Christ is that door, indeed, that is open to us for entry into this divine standing. He said he has made us what? Join us with him.
The door of divine nature, grace, and glory in Christ Jesus has placed the church in a special position as children, that is, children of God, with capacity and possibilities concerning the Father's vision, will, purposes, and glory on the earth. In particular, the establishment of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven on earth. Let me repeat. If Christ is the door of the divine nature of grace and glory open to us, and we enter in him, he says that you must come by the door, not by the window. There are people who are watching what Christ says, go to Bible school, and go and get anointing of the Holy Spirit. They join the church, and then they follow all that we do, only to go and use the opportunity, the grace upon him, to start a church or to do miracles or things, but they are not part of Christ. Papa, somebody can go to a Bible school and learn how pastors behave. And somebody can see the pastors and he has studied how to be a pastor. But he has not been called as a pastor. But he has gone to a Bible school, a seminary, and he has been taught how to act and behave and move as what? A pastor. And he can put on a cloak, a vestment of a pastor, and speak and behave as a pastor because he has seen all the pastors of the years, humanetics, all kinds of things, how to get attention of the people, how to clap, bang the toilet, move, body movement, language. And if you can do this, you'll be an honorable pastor. But you know, he doesn't have the anointing. He doesn't have the presence of God. He has come to spy and learn how what? It is done by the window, but it's not by the door. He must come in by whom? Jesus Christ. Because you cannot be a pastor except Christ not just calls you, grants you the spiritual grace, the anointing, the pastoral passion, the apostolic stature and standing, the prophetic capacity and gifts, and the evangelistic power and teacher. All these things come with special divine graces. And that divine grace, you cannot learn it. Praise the Lord. That divine grace, what? You cannot learn it. So if you are not appointed a pastor, and you have learned how to be a pastor, and you can act as a pastor, but you have not been appointed by whom? Jesus Christ. You are a pastor who is posting, looking through what? The window. See how the pastors behave. And then you begin to imitate them. And then you do it. And those who have no eyes, and those who don't know God, you think you are a great pastor. I'm trying to suggest that the calling of Christ is of a special divine nature. Hebrews 5, is it? Or 6 says what? You cannot take this what? Glorious order upon what? Yourself. You can't take the position of a pastor upon yourself. But today there are many people that are taking it upon what? Themselves. There are many schools that are teaching people how to be a pastor, how pastors behave, how you can organize a church, and all the rest. So these are acquired and learned as skills. So people operate the skills without the spirit. And therefore, they turn the church into what? A human what? Institution. Because they have to use the human first Adam power operation to be able to think that, so that the thing can move among men. And since men don't have a spiritual eyes or understanding, they think that as long as it portrays and delivers what men want, then it is part of it. But it is not. It cannot be. Praise the Lord. Beloved, I'm not here to discuss negativities. I'm here to discuss the beautiful thing that God has done with us. The divine door, the door of divine nature, grace and glory in Christ, has placed the church, that is those who have really come through the door, in a special position as children of God, with capacity and possibilities
concerning the Father's own vision, will, purposes, and glory on the kingdom of heaven on earth. This stands Christ in good stead as the great open door of divine glory standing for the church as a whole. I took my trouble to discuss our connection with Christ, that he is the door that we enter. And Ephesians 4 tells us that he, after ascending, appoints men. He's the door that you enter. And he's when you go into the green pasture, he's the one that makes you what? A pastor or whatever at the church. But the church as a body is himself. Because it's the spirit that of Christ that is in everybody that makes them what? Members of the church. And Romans says that he has made out of us joint heirs. The Father has agreed with the Son and the Holy Spirit that we should be joint heirs of him, the Father, through whom? Jesus Christ. Or joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Christ is also the baptizer of the church with the Holy Spirit. While Christ is the door by which we are born again and by which we enter into ministry, whatever positions the Lord wants us to be, he is the one who baptizes us, that is the church, with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptism or his coming to us makes us different people than what we other than what we were before. If you were born again and you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you operate at a certain level. But if you are brought up by the Holy Spirit, then you are also well elevated to a higher level of operation as a divine person. So in Christ, there is the open door of divine nature and possibilities. Then the pride in turn, what? I baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to add to what you have inherited in whom? Christ. But the three, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, were at the beginning. And now that we have entered the Christ system, the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Son will not let you remain without what? The fullness of the, you see, Ephesians chapter 3, the fullness of God. In Christ dwelleth what? The fullness of God, what? Bodily. And if you enter Christ, then the door of the fullness of God, what? Coming upon you bodily, is open. And that is when you are baptized by the Holy Spirit, then you have entered the fullness. So your operation as a child of God or a divine person is raised higher when the Holy Spirit comes and rests and settles upon you. Are we getting it? So, I'm coming to discuss something, and I hope we will land on it very soon. That is to say, the Holy Spirit shared and stood by the Father concerning his vision, will, purpose, and kingdom on earth right from the beginning. When all things were said, before even Jesus came, the three of them had already agreed of what to be done. Before the Holy Spirit baptism came, Jesus said he is going to ask what? The Father. If the Father will let the what? The Comforter come. So they have agreed already that after he has found a people that he can call his own, the church, then the Holy Spirit will come and what? Baptize them and make them complete in the powers and structure of what? Divine nature. And with all the possibilities that means or that brings. That makes Christ and the Holy Spirit partners for Christ's mission on earth. Indeed, the Holy Spirit joined Jesus Christ for his mission before his mission took off. When he was being baptized by John the Baptist, what happened? The Holy Spirit came and dwelt upon him. And John Baptist says what? He who sent him told him, upon whom you shall see the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling. He is what? The Son of God.
And he said, behold, the Lamb of God that what? Taketh away. He was satisfied. Now Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. It's not just the Son of God, but it's what? He's the Lamb of God with a mission. And then he went up. He was baptizing with water, but the Holy Spirit, Jesus will baptize with what? With the Holy Spirit and with fire. So now there's a new door to human beings. And so Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, with the consent of the Father, are starting a new mission on earth as partners. And the first act of Christ is to find men that will come and partake in this mission. So when Jesus saw and called the 12, first the 70, then the 12, and commissioned them. If you see his prayer on John 17, he said, I have told them of you, and they have believed me. They have believed you sent me. And I'm sending them. And because I'm sending them, and the world will hate them, sanctify them. I don't say take them out of the world, but what? Sanctify them. Keep them by your power. But how do you keep them first? Keep them holy unto yourself by what? Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Then he goes on further down. We discussed that yesterday. That he shared his glory with the church. That just as he and the Father are one, we and him shall also be one. And in him, we and the Father shall be one. That's the proposition Jesus made. And he could not have left us in that position without making us partake of the fullness of his divine nature, namely the operation of whom? The Holy Spirit. So he opened that door for us. But the reason why he came on earth is to build a kingdom. And so when he commissioned the church in Matthew 12 and Matthew 16, and Peter was led to identify him as Christ, the Son of what? The living God. He said, upon this your confession, what? I'll build my church. And he has a vision of hell, that the gates of hell, the powers of that men and spirits, and that will not, you know, will resist you. I've given you power, and the gates of hell, what? Cannot prevail. Then he goes on further and says, and I give you the keys of what? Of heaven. Because he knows that the kingdom of heaven shall be established where? On earth. And therefore, he places the church in the position where they can have opportunity to bring down the vision on heaven, or the conditions of earth to prevail on earth. So in this vision, hallelujah, the Father, the Son, and whom? The Holy Spirit have decided to do a new thing. We'll come back this is to the new thing on earth. And who, since they are spirit and the new human being to operate at the human level, they have taken us as partners. So the church, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father have agreed to draw the church as well, joined us with whom? Jesus Christ, and partners in the service, in the Christ mission on earth for the building of the kingdom of God. This is what has led to the concept of the triumvirate. The church. Now, church mission is built upon and is embodied with Christ's vision and mission, purposes, and glory on earth. Now, Christ needed the blessed power and accompaniment of the Holy Spirit for his mission. Matthew 3, 11 to 17, John 1, 25 to 20, 34. So also, therefore, the church needs whom? The accompaniment of whom? The Holy Spirit. If it can be complementary to what? Jesus Christ's mission. If it can serve effectively and complement the efforts of Christ. And so, as I said, the new birth and the baptism raises those who are born again, who are and who are members of the church, to a different level of what? Existence. And that's where they begin to share in what we have defined as what? Divine glory. The graces of God and the glory is now open to us. And when we enter, we grow from glory to what? Glory. So the door of glory is open. But it is not open for the sake of it. It's open for what? There's a responsibility attached. And the church becomes a partner, therefore, with whom? Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit for the Father's vision and mission on earth. So, building the kingdom, the church mission, and there are three people that are operating there. Christ, the Holy Spirit, whom, and what? The church. The church has been raised to a place where it has a divine nature, where its eyes are, her eyes are open, her understanding is come, vision come, he can talk to the Father, he can speak in language of God, you know, language, divine language, and communicate with God, and sit and have fellowship with God, or have fellowship with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and raise them to a different level. Hallelujah. In all this, the church does not operate as a normal what? Human being, but he's a divine person. I'm saying that the church, if it will fulfill its purposes, then it must take on the divine inheritance, possibilities with the divine heritage. And this has been given to us. If you have been born again, and you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, and the door of divinity is open, and the power of divine operations are open to you, then you qualify to be a partner with the Son and the what? The Holy Spirit for the Father's vision. And unless that door is open to you, you cannot. You cannot serve the Father. You cannot operate as a church of divine glory. You cannot build a kingdom where you are dealing with spirits and powers except you enter that relationship. You have to be raised to a different level. Amen. Amen. You have to be raised. And so the Christian, the church, is not an ordinary human being. That's why I feel sad. I'll come back at the end. That human beings who are members of the church begin to think of the earthly power and knowledge and wisdom as if that is that the church should and man and in that death operate well above the fallen nature's operatives. Man at his best cannot be even reflect a portion of what? The divine person. He hasn't got it because we are fallen. Amen. Amen. But if you are born again, then the fallen nature is what? Set apart. You are now lifted to higher levels. Yesterday we were talking about the church is a holy calling and a holy order. And their functions are holy. And holy means they are of God and they are not of man or the earth. So this is where the church has gone astray in many respects. I said we are not dwelling on the negativities. But I just want us to know that we have been blessed by the new standing, this divine heritage standing that is open to us, in whom? Jesus Christ, and whom? The Holy Spirit. That is to say, the baptism, settlement, and endowment of the church with power, with the power, companionship, company, and ministry of the Holy Spirit, confirm the open door of divine grace, power, and glory in mission. That is the Father's mission on earth to the church. The church now stands in spiritual terms as holy vessel with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit for the Father's vision and mission. His will, purposes, and glory, and kingdom glory on earth. The mandate we receive in the Great Commission settles the matter. Because, you know, Jesus has taken us and baptized us and brought us. The disciples had not been what? Baptized yet. So at the time of the Great Commission, he told them, don't go until what?
Yes.
Until the fullness of the complement. You are standing as an inheritor of the divine nature. Until that is settled, don't go out. So the Great Commission came. But Jesus said, the Great Commission is only telling you where you, how you can operate. But wait until what? The endowment of power. You can only be complete and operate in the divine stature and nature when what? The Holy Spirit comes. So you cannot be a partner of Jesus Christ to do God's work, the Father's work, when the Holy Spirit what? Has not come. Because Jesus Christ also himself what? Needed the Holy Spirit before he went out. And so now that you have been raised to that level as a joint heir with Jesus Christ, you need also whom? The Holy Spirit companionship. So that's why the church now, I want you to look at the church not as human beings anymore, as divine beings, divine spirit beings. That is what you have been called to be. Hallelujah. That is what, when the Spirit see you, they see you as a child of God. And they don't see you as your grandmother's child. That's why when our fathers are talking about Amamre and so on, a man is in the church and he cannot break from what? Amamre. He has not known who he is yet. Or he doesn't know what the church is yet. Because the church is not bound by the Amamrement. The church operates at a different level. And its heritage is of God. Its capacity and operation is what? Divine. God, heavenly. Praise the Lord. And you cannot operate in the heavenly terms if your feet are in the amamrement. That is what the church has not got a vision about. Yesterday we were discussing, that's why the church thinks that all faiths are what? That's the church which doesn't have the Holy Spirit and does not understand who the church is, thinks that every faith is a faith. That's why yesterday we warned you that if you are talking about the faith, Christianity is what? The faith. The holy faith. The everlasting holy faith. And the only faith that opens the door of divine glory to you. There's no faith that does that. Because all of them are imaginations, operations of what? Of what? Creatures. Whether men or what? Angels. Whether, as I told you yesterday, whether they were the beasts or what? The beast, the 24 what? Elders. Or the beasts were. But in heaven, they are still what? Creation. They are still creation. And they cannot stand in position to pretend that they are what? God. And they were not sent to deal with you. So when a fallen angel or a spirit comes and tells you that I'm God and I can do you this thing, and you believe as a Christian, you have fallen from grace to grace. And because you don't know you are standing, that's why you are looking on those gods to give you power to do miracles. And why do you want the miracles? Just you can make money and fame. Are you not a fool? You see, you do that because you don't know who you are. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't know the nature and the beauty and power of your standing as what? A child of God. And Jesus said, all authority is given me. Therefore what? Go. Go in my name. Amen. Amen. If you ask anything, what? It shall be done. But if you are standing, hallelujah. If your personal standing as a child of God, your relation with the Father, and your personal and stature, you are not yet operating at a higher level where creation can listen to you, where you can speak and the things will happen, just ask it where? In my name. Hallelujah. As you operate, you are growing in the divine glory. There will be time that you can speak and creation will obey because you are rising in spiritual terms. In the divine, and also I said capacity and what possibilities with your divine standing. So you grow in spirit from what? Glory to glory. And when you are praying, Praise the Lord. When people look at you, they begin to think you are God. Indeed, you are some kind of God. Because you are taking on the divine nature. So you are joined with Christ. And you are growing. And envy the spirits of darkness. And so that you go and get their power. So that you can operate. Don't look back. They want to make a fool of you. So that when you go to them, then you have lowered yourself as to who you are. Hallelujah. But you stand deeper and deeper in whom? Jesus Christ. You see that very soon you are higher than them. Because a man shall judge what? Angels. I dare you today. Know whom you are in Christ. You are in the forest, in the bush, in the rural area. And the spirits are in the powers are there. And there are spirits in the lagoons and the sea. You'll be tempted that if you get the power, then miracles can happen in your church. If you were doing that, you are a fool. But I don't say you are a fool today. You have not seen clearly who you are yet. Praise the Lord. Because if you really know who you are, you cannot bow to such things. The Bible, after you have become what? A son of God. Why do you bow to what? Beggarly element. Because they are begging you to what? To bow before them. That's why Satan told Jesus what? If I bow, I'll give you all this. You don't need to, you know. So when you bow and you take them, it means you are they are begging you to honor them as what? Gods. And then they said, oh, if you want us, I can do this for you. Then go and kill your brother or bring this money or this. Then you can rise. They are begging you. And to make it look as if they are greater, they ask you to sell yourself. Church, Christ, the church, and Christ, whom? Christ, the Holy Spirit, and what? And the church are standing in a different, a higher order together to bring change on earth and to build a kingdom. That's what I call the divine what? Triumvirate. You know that the church has become what? A divine person. It's a holy orders, but now it stands in a divine position. The church now stands in spiritual terms as holy vessels with Christ and the Holy Spirit for the Father's vision and mission, his will, purposes, and kingdom and glory on earth. The mandate with the Great Commission settle this. When Jesus said, all authority is given me, go. He raises you up. The church is of holy orders, as we learned yesterday. The church, a holy body, on holy mission, of holy divine agenda, dressed in holy garments, of holy orders, for Christ's mission now stands elevated in glory as partners in partnership with whom? Christ and the Holy Spirit. Yesterday we discussed the holy orders. Now you see the relevance of our standing as holy. We stand in holy garments. As you grow in Christ, you are changed from glory to what? Unto glory. And your spiritual garment is changed as you grow in him. He give you a garment of this, a garment. You know, I don't want to treat the glory of what? The glory of the crown of righteousness. The crown of what? Glory. The crown of pure gold. The crown of eternal life. No, this is not what I'm saying yet. I'm talking about who you are, even while you have not finished the work. You are standing in a special position in Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, the invitation to you is that God wants you to know who you are. And he's put you in a holy garment, give you a holy order for a holy agenda for the Father's vision and mission, will, purposes, and kingdom, and divine glory on earth. Blessed is the nation and people with the shining light and glory of the church. Blessed is the nation Blessed are the people who has the church of this stature. If Christ is a medium and the mediator between whom? God and man. And the church stands with Christ. Then the church can be an effectual power and mediator between God and man. But Christ brings the reconciliation. And Jesus Christ in Matthew 16 gives the power, the church the power to forgive what? Sins, to cancel things. And it shall be canceled where? In heaven. But the Christ cannot do things except it is in communication. Yesterday we see that. Except you are in communication with the Holy Spirit, you can't use your mind to cancel sins or forgive sins. Because you don't know even the nature and source of the sin or the power that is operating. So you cannot cast out spirits carelessly except the Holy Spirit is with you and directs you. So, amen. 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 I'm going too deep or too far. You are a shining light. It's sad, therefore, that the church in many a place today is abandoning the holy garment and holy orders of the true and holy church, which stands as a partner of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit for the Father's mission. I say it is sad that the church in many a place today has abandoned the holy garment and the holy orders of the true and holy church, which is a partner of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit for the Father's vision. Beware here, therefore, of the Antichrist in the church of Satan, man, and worldly order and kingdom glory. This is the end time phenomenon of falsehood, false prophets, false teaching, and false teachers. They are all over the place. If you don't know whom you are in Christ, then what they are doing shall attract you. And I'm telling you, all that they offer you is the glory on earth, not the heavenly glory. All that they can offer you is money and popularity, silver and gold, the following of men, the praise of men, aeroplanes and such kind of things, big missions, big houses, big holy estates, you know, and the vast lands that they have acquired because they have signed agreement with whom? Satan. And he released that to them. They don't have to fight to make money because they have what? Bowed to him. They have bowed that the silver and gold and the worship of human glory or human things have become their, they are possessed and that is what they are doing. And therefore, they will not take on the confrontation with Satan to deliver the earth from their power. But if you sign an agreement, then they make it easier for you to get the money. Praise the Lord. And some of the pastors and bishops, they make human sacrifices. They do all kinds of things so that they can get that power. Praise the Lord. Is it true or false? Consider it. And ask God to lead you. But I'm telling you, many of them have sold their birthright for a mere pittance of earthly glory and the praise of men. It's sad that many a church have abandoned this high calling. Take note, therefore, of Christ's encounter and rejection of the offer of the kingdoms of the world and their glory by Satan. In Matthew chapter 4, particularly verses 8 to 11, verses 1 to 11. Beware of the dilution, inclusion, and transfer of human knowledge, wisdom, intellect, and power into the church, the filthy garments of human devices and earthly glory are incompatible and unsuitable with the holy orders of and garments of the church. Because if John 17, I had wanted to read, but I want to stop here. John 17, 18 to 19. Or John 17, 18 to 24. Will tell you the glory of the church. Her standing. I mentioned that yesterday. Christ said, the Father should not take us out of the world, but he should what? Keep us. And he should sanctify and make us one. And because of that, he has sanctified himself. And he has now decided to share his glory with us. If Jesus was a great power 2,000 years ago, and he is opening a door for us to be like him, why do you go and ask for Akonodi power or draft power or mermaid power or some power from angels? When Jesus is a son and you are a friend and a brother of Jesus Christ, which is a better offering, to be an angel or to be a friend to Jesus Christ? Which is a better offering? Which is a better mission ground when you are a partner of whom? Jesus Christ and what? The Holy Spirit for the Father's mission. Which is have a better offering when the capacity and glory and possibilities of the divine nature are open to you, that you can enter and obtain not just mercy in time of need, but enter and grow in divine stature, putting on the fullness of what? The stature of Christ and the glory of God. Beloved, the church in glory is a missionary church in John 17. It is sent. So therefore, our conclusion of the matter, O church of God, stand up and be counted. Take your holy garment. Reach out with the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is the blessed will, work, and honor bestowed upon you by the Father. Hallelujah. Amen.
He shall reign over his people, and he'll be their God.